Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you guys tonight. As I was gone this morning preaching in Grove City, had a great time there this morning. Three folks accepted Christ as Savior, and so we had a good time there. But also, I want to thank all the men that helped me out this morning and ladies, those taking care of everything here. And so very, very thankful for all of you and helping with that. You can be seated this evening. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 17, but very thankful for all you men who served in different ways and all of you ladies, everybody who stepped up in certain places for myself. And then again, the Millers being out of town this week. And so that was very, very appreciated. And also want to thank our chaperone. Myself and a couple of the men had a good time this week. We got to go to Sauk Trail Baptist Temple for a men's advance this weekend. And our chaperone, Pastor Randy, he took us, we called him the chaperone. He called himself that. He drove all the way there, all the way back, 5 hours. Appreciate that. And we got a good time. I'm very, very thankful for the time we got to spend together there. And also very thankful that, praise God in heaven, that we made it back safely to our church family and to our families. Amen. John chapter 17, I have been in and out with different travel plans, and praise the Lord too. I'm not going anywhere else currently until October, so I can be with my church family. I'm very excited about that. But we had talked about prayer, and I had planned on preaching this in a Sunday morning service and ending with it, but it felt and the Spirit moved that tonight I want to look at sincere requests of the Savior. Sincere requests of the Savior. So Jesus, being the perfect man, I believe that Jesus also prayed perfectly. And if we need a model of prayer and how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer oftentimes, is actually the model prayer. But the true Lord's Prayer, they call this the high priestly prayer, is found in John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17. We're going to look at six things that connects us this evening in the Lord's sincere requests, and how in John 17, verses 20 through 26, we see that Jesus not only prays for himself, but he prays for the disciples, those who were with him on earth, but he also prays for his church. That would include all of us who are believers unified in Christ. And so this evening, just as a note, you can see that Jesus opens his prayer, and this is the way that I personally pray in my life. Doesn't mean it's the way that you have to do it, but how I pray and how I feel most effective and fervent. One of the men there, David Gibbs Jr., he's actually the founder and the president of Christian Law Association, whom we support. They're literally our lawyers. He did a message on prayer, and the men heard. And we certainly can understand that we need to pray. We were at that point, right? That God has power to move with man, but also with God, and that power is in prayer that comes by faith, and that faith, a prayer of faith, can move and affect the things of God through his will. But this evening, I want you to realize that Jesus prayed, Jesus being fully God, but fully man. Remember, Jesus isn't half God and half man. He's fully God and fully man, that hypostatic union. So when Jesus prayed, why I added the word sincere request of a Savior is because sincerity is an emotion. It's something that is human, and God, everything God does is sincere. Everything that God does is sincere. But as human beings, we're not always as sincere as we think we are. Now, this isn't a criticism, but we talked about this, but this is of a truth. I don't know many Christians, praying Christians, who someone says, "Will you pray for this?" and you've forgotten to pray about it. That happens at times. Somebody stops you in the hallway. That's why I'm always saying, if you have a prayer request, please don't just tell me. Tell me in a place where I can write it down, or you write it down, or you text it, or you email it. Because if you just tell me in passing, I try to pray for it, but if you tell me in passing, I could potentially forget it. It's not that it's not important to me, but I'm just a human being, right? It's not that I don't mean it, but listen, God the Father, he hears every prayer. He doesn't need you to write it down for him. Jesus Christ was man. Now, he's perfect. I'm not saying that Jesus forgot things, but I am saying this. Jesus always honored the Father, and he had emotion. He had sincerity about his followers, about his Father, and about you. And so he poured his soul out at Gethsemane. He had so much emotion, so much sincerity that he sweat great drops of blood, right? But here in the high priestly prayer, Jesus, I'm not going to read these verses, but he talks to the Father in such a way. He talks to the Father. He says, hey, reveal the glory that was in me that before the world was ever started. I've been with you this whole time because we believe in God in three persons. Jesus says he is the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Jesus says, listen, I am God. But he also talks to the Father in reverence and he worshiped the Father. He says, the Father, the glory that's in you. You know what he does? Jesus praises and worships the Father before he begins his requests. In the book of John, chapter 17. That's how I start my prayers to the Lord. I tell the Lord who he is and what he's done. You know, when payday came this week for myself and for Chandra, I gave the Lord praise. I said, Lord, you are the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. I want to remember that. Lord, you are the protector. You are my buckler. You are my shield. You got us to and from Salt Trail or Richton Park, Illinois, at the last minute in our church van, and we never thought it would make it. You talk about faith. Now, it was a bumpy ride, right? Now, for those of us who were sitting up front, it wasn't that bad. I was fine, Brother Jonathan. I was good. But the young guy sat in the back, and all we heard the whole way, oh, my God, this is going on. I tell you right now, all the old dogs, man, we got along better than you young dogs. I slept on the floor and woke up feeling good and spry. I feel good in the hood. Brother Logan, he's so bad, he's down for the count. He's sleeping somewhere. He can't make it. Bunch of sissies anyway. Now that I'm moving on from that, just joking. But you know what? Listen, this is what's amazing. I always try in my prayer life, practical prayer for all of you. I'm not trying to teach you how to pray. I'm teaching you how Jesus prayed. I always worship the Lord first. I tell him, worship is telling God who he is to you. You are a creator. When I thank God for creator, I thank God in creator because he created Miss America back there, Miss Chandra. He created these children of mine. You are creator. God, you created. Boy, we had some smoked meats this weekend. And you have created the fatted calf. And not only have you created that, but we had pulled pork the second day. You have approved what was once an unclean animal and said that this is now clean. Praise the Lord and pass the pulled pork, baby. You know what I'm talking about? Thank the Lord. I worship God for his creation. But I also thank him and praise him. Jesus says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work. When you glorify God, you're praising God. You're thanking God. The best way that you can thank God is to live for God and do the things of God. I'm not going to preach the whole message I preached this morning. You've never heard it. It was a new message. But commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And commit thy word unto the Lord. The Lord's committed to you, but are you committed to him? That's how you glorify God. But then watch. Jesus then goes into a time of request. Now, I'm always very, very, very serious when I read this chapter, and I think to myself, if the Son of God, the Savior of the world, thought that it was needed to pray to God the Father and ask him for stuff, Lord, have mercy on our souls for us not asking you for stuff. Lord, have mercy on me for thinking that I can do it on my own. Lord, have mercy on me for thinking that I can do anything in my strength. Lord, have mercy on me for thinking that I can do something without your guidance. In big things and in small things, we need to go to the Lord with our requests. God says, bring all your requests to me. Make them all known unto me. He says, bring them to me. He says, anything you ask in my name, I will do. Even the small things he'll do. I always make light of it, but it's the truth in the Lord. Watch, when the kids pray, they pray so serious and so sincere. They pray about things that are present and things that are far off, but they really have faith that God can do them, and they're praying for specific things. We need to pray specific in our prayer lives. I pray simple, small prayers sometimes that people think are small. There's no such thing. But simple things. God, would you do this? Would you do that? We heard about praying to move mountains, and I think that's awesome, but I also think we just need to pray to move molehills too. You see, in John 17, look at verse 20 with me. And because I wasn't here this morning, go ahead and stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word this evening. Sincere requests of the Savior. I'm only dealing with the portion where Jesus is speaking about you and me, the church. I can prove that that's what he's talking about because I'm going to read it because that's what the Bible says. But verse 20 says this, neither pray I for these alone. Jesus had already asked some things for himself. He's already talked and asked some things for the disciples, those who God had given him on earth, specifically the apostles, but I believe all followers of Christ here on earth as well at that time. But then he's saying, neither I pray thee for these alone. So everything that he prayed for prior to chapter or to verse 20, he prayed also for you and I. He says, I wasn't just praying that for those folks. I'm praying that for these folks who would be, watch, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. How many of you have believed on the name of Jesus Christ tonight? He that has believed on the name of the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not believed on the name of the Son of God hath not life. If you said that you have believed tonight, Jesus prayed for you. Now, I don't know that there's anything better in the history of mankind outside of my salvation than the fact that the Savior of the world had a sincere request for me personally and for you personally, for this church personally. You know why I know that this church is going to be here and why Jesus is going to bless it and why Jesus wants to do things with us and through us? Because he prayed for us and his request, and we're going to see this. The Father fulfills his request. Now watch, things can happen, but Jesus prayed it for us, but you and I can mess up his requests. You ever think about you could fail Jesus? The greatest way you can fail Jesus is by what we're about to read, is by failing him in the request he asked for. He asked the Father. He thought enough to ask it of you to do these things or to have this. And sometimes we're fledgling, failing church members, and we're messing up our own Savior's requests. Watch. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, somebody ought to say glory, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Father, hide me behind your cross. Lord, bless the reading of your word and the honoring of it as we stand here, showing that, Lord, we not only approve of your word, but we have in us the Holy Spirit to prove your word to the rest of the world. Lord, I ask that you bless it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You see, Jesus was praying as if he had already been at the cross and died. But Jesus is alive and well. He's praying for things for the present, but also things in the future. It's amazing to me that as you go through these things, Jesus shows us some amazing things about the church, prayers for himself, prayers for the disciples, but prayers for him, for what we should be or what we need to do. And his major prayer is this for the church. Watch. It's that we be connected by certain things. Number one this evening, we are to be connected by faith. Jesus prays that we're connected by faith. I may lose some friends over this tonight, over this part, but it's the Bible. So like I always say, you're not disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with God. But watch this. Neither I pray for these alone, verse 20, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He speaks of belief there. He does not speak of Baptist or Methodist or any denomination. No, it has nothing to do with that. We're certainly not Baptist writers. I don't believe that one minute, do you? I don't believe that only Baptists go to heaven. Absolutely not. Now, I believe a lot of people go there in an Uber and we go in a limousine, but listen, that ain't no business of mine. But the Bible says, watch, also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus says, after this point, everyone who would believe on me through the word of God as only they could, he said in the three verses before in 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's saying everybody that believes the word of God, specifically the gospel, those people are connected by faith. And so a true believer at the Lutheran church down the road is connected to you and I. Now, they're not a part of our local body, and there's a difference there, but they're just as saved as you or me. And this prayer that Jesus prayed for them is the same prayer he prayed for the members of Assurance Baptist Church. Sometimes we get out of our pocket and we think because they're different, but I want you to understand this. Connected by faith means connected by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when a true believer, as we'll do tonight, receives the blood and the body of Christ, a true believer inside the context of their church. I'm not talking about things that I wouldn't call a church. I'm not talking about heretics. I'm not talking about so-called churches that don't really believe the Bible, but I'm talking about someone who has real faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. When they receive the Lord's Supper, they're receiving and believe in the same blood, and you're connected. You're a part of the same family. Every kindred, every nation, every tongue, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, will be represented in heaven. They're the same as you. We're connected by faith. But number two, we're connected by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, essentially, here. In that, verse 21, I want you to understand this really, really closely. Because of the common bond that we have with the United States, not states, saints, we are united to do one thing. Watch. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Here's the issue with the world, and here's where we're messing up Jesus' request. Jesus didn't say that we all have to do it the same, but he did say that once we're connected by faith, the Bible says there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, which is water baptism, by the way, not baptism of the Spirit. Stop. You're not going to do anything crazy after you get saved. You're going to stop acting crazy. Okay. But one faith, one Lord. The Holy Spirit's still God, amen. You're connected through the Holy Spirit of God, and the same Holy Spirit the Baptist true believer has is the same Holy Spirit that the Methodist true believer has. There's not two different spirits. So you're connected through that. It's a common bond, but the reason why we're united or should be united and stand is because we got a lot of evil in the world, and we're supposed to be standing up together against that evil. You see, I fully understand that I don't always agree in every manner and fashion as every other Christian, even inside of this church. But I do know this, that Luke chapter 9, verse 50 says, hey, listen, Jesus says, leave them alone. If they're not against us, they be for us. You know what Jesus was telling them? It's amazing. The person that has that, the disciple that told him, hey, why don't you guys get away from us, was John, and he's supposed to be the disciple of love. He was the one that said, get away from us. They're out there healing in your name, Jesus. We don't know them. Get them away from us. You know what they were? They were from a different. They didn't have Baptist on their name particularly, I suppose. They had something different. But watch this. The true test. See, there's Baptists that say they're Baptists but aren't doing anything for the Lord. They're less connected to the Spirit. They're less connected to the unity of the church and by faith than other people out there. But watch this. The true tests of a ministry are doctrine and conduct. When people follow the Bible, you know there are people that are Bible-believing that aren't Baptists, right? When people follow the doctrine of the Bible and their conduct matches the conduct. Now, listen, I'm not bashing Baptists. I'm a Baptist. That's all I'm going to be. That's all I've ever been, and that's all I ever want to be. I believe Baptist doctrine, and I believe certain Baptist preferences, so I'm not downing the Baptist church. Obviously, we're Assurance Baptist Church, and we ain't never taking that off there as long as I'm the pastor, amen? But I would say this to you. There are other churches. I have a friend that's a pastor who is not Baptist, but he has a King James Bible just like me. He does this. He does that. He wears a suit and tie, but he's so tired of Baptists being bad that he just says, I don't want anything to do with any denomination, and I'm not opposed to that either. But I would say this to you. We are not connected by our denomination. We are connected by the Spirit, and we all have one common unified goal, and that is to show the glory of God the Father in heaven. Amen. It's not to make ourselves look good. It's not to glorify our church. It's not to glorify the pastor. It's not to glorify the Sunday school teacher. It's not to glorify the singers of the church. It's not to glorify this one or that one. It's to glorify the Father. We are united through faith in the Spirit. What that means is you've believed and now you're equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to get the job done. That's what Jesus prayed. When I'm standing on the front lines preaching at the abortion clinic with the Lutheran and even the Catholics. In that instance, there's some doctrinal issues there, but in that instance, they're not against me, so they're for me. Because they believe in the sanctity of human life just as much as I do. And so the faith that it took them to stand there in the Spirit, even if I don't agree with their doctrine and their preferences in that sense, man, I listen. I'm glad somebody's out there. I can't get a whole bunch of Baptists to go do it. You get mad at me all you want. The reason why there's so many Baptist churches is because we can't get unified. How many Baptist churches are there in a 2-mile radius of this place right here? A few. Drive 10 miles. How many Baptist churches are? But you know what happens? Now, I started this church, so maybe I'm the most guilty of all. But they can't get along. So everybody has to be the God of their church because they can't accept and agree upon certain things. The greatest thing about this church and the greatest thing about the history of this church, and it's to glorify God, is that that's not a problem here. That we accept it and we've moved and we've done what we've done, but it's unfortunate that inside of certain conventions and networks and fellowships, the people don't get along. The fellowship we were a part of for many years at my sending church, they couldn't get along, so it's blown up. So now there's two. One's the Baptist Church Ministry Network, and now the other one's what? The Baptist Network Ohio or something, Brother Jaden, what is it? They just changed. It used to be the BBFI, now it's something else. And they were all together at one point. They all had the same magazine, the same preachers were coming in, trained at the same churches. They were all friends. Somebody's staff guy here, somebody's little brother here, this and that, and they blow up! Because they forgot what Jesus prayed for. That there would be connection through the faith. There would be connection through the Spirit. Number three, connected in glory. Connected in glory. You say, well, you just said we're not supposed to have any glory. Well, that's not ultimately true. What Jesus says is, in the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Jesus got his glory. It was made, the Father's glory was made manifest in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. In the glory of him, we beheld him as the only begotten Son of God, right? That the glory of God is in the man Jesus. Jesus says, but I want to give that glory to the church so that they see your glory so that the rest of the world can get the glory. It goes Father to Son to church to world. And so when you see that we're connected in glory, it's manifesting itself in the church. What an amazing thing for the God of all the universe to pray. The God of all the universe prays and says, I'm the most powerful, intelligent being that's ever been, and I want you to have the same amount of glory as me. That's why I can't stand know-it-alls. Shut up. You don't have to be right about everything. Because the glory in you, the Bible says Jesus humbled himself. He didn't outpride anybody. Come on. Some of y'all don't like it because it's you. Jesus, he didn't have to win every argument. Jesus said, y'all go on about your business then. Do what you want to do. Jesus was very quiet and very measured when somebody was arguing with him. They said, hey man, we caught her in the act. Come on, get her. And Jesus is just drawing. Jesus said very few words. And got his point across. I don't care what y'all say. That's good. Good preaching, preacher. Come on now. Give us some. I'd jump in this baptistry if I could swim. The glory that God has, he prayed that it's instilled in you. And how dare you and I let any of it be blocked because of our pride. Number four, we're connected in love. Verse 23, we're connected in love. Now, I want you to be very clear that it says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Jesus isn't praying for our sinless perfection. If Jesus thought that you could be sinless and perfect, he wouldn't have went to the cross. He'd have said, figure it out for yourself. But he knew you were bad, and he knew that he's not, and he came to earth and accepted your badness because of his goodness. We call it righteousness, and we call it sin, and that is why Jesus prayed this specifically, that be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We're connected in love. It's not sinless perfection, but the amount of love that we show, the amount of love the church shows the love of Christ. Jesus says, you can't show the sinlessness of me. He didn't ask you for that. He says, I want you to be perfect in the sense of that you are mature in each other, that you're growing up in each other, so that the world around you, they might not see and they won't understand your perfectness because you're not perfect, but you're telling them about my perfection, but your love is the thing that shows the most. Now, I had this message written largely before we got to Sauk Trail, but one of the things that one of the men said was, kindness is always more attractive than negative or anger, right? But the Bible puts it this way, love, the world, we're connected through that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The absolute, wonderful, most understanding person in the world without love is nothing. And I'm talking about the love of the Father, the love of Jesus Christ. A lost person that doesn't have the love of the Father, hasn't accepted the love of the Son, they can't truly love someone. Young people, listen to me. The reason why I always say never get married to someone that's lost is because the Bible says God is love, and if they're not saved, they can't understand what love is because they don't believe in God. So you're going to have somebody that tells you they love you, and they don't even know what love is because they don't know who God is. And until they understand who love is and that it's manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, you're not to be dealing with them in that fashion. You always remember that, and I guarantee you this. You might get a knuckleheaded saved husband someday or a knuckleheaded saved wife someday, but it's still better than a knuckleheaded lost one. You see, connected in love. The result, watch this. I thought this was good. This might be worthy of writing down. I don't have very many good ones, but this might be one. The result of unity in God's love revealed through us. The result of unity is God's love revealed through us. Excuse me. When you really think about that, when we've been connected by faith, connected by spirit, connected in glory, and we're connected in love, the result of that is God's love revealed through us. We go into the world with a loving heart, loving spirit, loving attitude, and people see the glory of God through you and I. Number five, I only got one more. Connected in eternity. Oh my. Guys, do you really, really, really? I preached a message when we were doing the Lord's Supper once called Crave the Body. Do you truly crave the presence of Jesus? I think a lot of Christians say yeah, but in the back of their mind, they like their life. And if Jesus offered them to leave right now today, now watch, again, I've said it before, I'm not offering, I'm not telling the Lord, please take me home today, okay? But if Jesus pulled back the sky today and gave you the option and said, you can leave your husband, you can leave your wife, you can leave your grandchildren, you can leave your life. You're healthy, and he told you, you're going to live another 50 or 60 years, depending on how old you are today. You're going to live, and you're going to have a great life and all these things. Or you can come home today. There's a whole bunch of you, yeah, there's a whole bunch of you, though, that would have to think about it. Oh, yeah, there's some people that would think about it because they like their stuff too much, and they like this earthly life too much. But I want you to understand this. Watch what Jesus prayed for in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, speaking of us, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Well, you're like, Jesus isn't talking about where he's at physically right there. He's talking about the future. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about at the right hand of God the Father. He says, be where I am, because he knows where he's going, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You know what he's saying? Jesus is saying, he's praying to the Father. He wants us. He's praying that we'll see his full glory, that we'll see him as he is. Can I explain to you what the full glory of God is? Well, I can't, but God did. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Watch this. Now, some of you, this is just going to sound like a, seem like some kind of Chronicles of Narnia. And I like C.S. Lewis and all, But he can't put it as good as God did. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Jesus has just given John the opportunity to have the revelation. John is caught up in the Spirit, and he's seeing these things that have yet to pass. They still haven't happened yet, even though they were written in 90 AD. And Jesus says, well, the Bible says, and they see the resurrected Christ, and it says, "And I turned to see the voice," John speaking, "that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Now, we know that those are churches and church ages. But in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, capital S in the King James Bible, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. You talk about the glory of God. Boy, you get up there and you see Jesus, and he's got the keys to death and hell, to heaven and hell. He's been dead, but he's alive. Later on, the Bible explains him as a lamb who had been slain, who was left for dead, but is alive and risen. You talk about the glory of God. Jesus prays that we will see that glory to the Father. It wasn't an absolute, apparently. Jesus thought that it needed to be requested, and Jesus asked the Father, and we know through the Word of God that someday, because of the glory and the grace of God, we'll see Jesus in all his glory. Man, if that don't fire you up, that right there, my training pastor say, that ought to make a Baptist shout and a Methodist faint. Amen. That might get you. If you've ever been to Methodist church, you know what I'm talking about. I grew up that way. If you said amen, they might pass out. Now listen, we're connected in eternity. You know what the coolest thing about eternity is and being saved? The saved people that you don't like currently are going to be in heaven. You're going to spend the rest of your life with them. So you might as well start liking them now. This is a practice run. There are some people that you don't like. Just be honest. There might be people in this church you don't like. But watch this. You ought to know and you ought to accept and be thrilled at the fact that they're saved and that they won't spend eternity in hell, but that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. And guess what? When they get to heaven, they're going to be perfect, so you won't not have to like them anymore. It's going to be all good in the neighborhood, amen? And so what I want you to see is Jesus prayed for that, the sincere request of the Savior. Lastly, this evening, we're connected in conclusion. We're connected in conclusion. What am I talking about? Verses 25 and 26. Oh, righteous Father. There he goes again, worshiping Father God, praising Father God, giving him what he deserves. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. You know, earlier Jesus had said, I pray not for the world. Don't take that as Jesus doesn't have love for the world, but Jesus, being man, can't pray for people who aren't yet saved because it's contradictory to the nature of God, because if people haven't repented of their sins, their prayers are good for nothing anyway. So Jesus' requests as a man are not the same as the will of God outside of that, God not willing that any should perish. The reason why I know that is because Jesus prays, Father, thy will be done instead of my will be done. As a man, Jesus was going, if we can figure out another way other than this cross thing, let's take that route, Father. But I'm doing it because I'm obedient unto you. The Bible says that. He's obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's not me speaking. That's the Bible speaking. So Jesus is saying, he's not saying that he doesn't love the rest of the world. That's why it's so sincere, because he's praying specifically for his beloved disciples. He's praying for himself, and he's praying for his beloved church, you and me. But watch. Connected in conclusion. Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known me that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Check this out. righteous father. It's like when the prophets and the children of Israel would call upon the Lord and they would say, "Thou art the Lord our God who delivered us out of the hand of Egypt or brought us over the Red Sea." They are going to God's weakness. What God can't do is God cannot, listen, he cannot do anything outside of his will, because it's perfect will, right? And God, when Jesus connects with his righteousness, God can't do anything outside of his righteous character because he's completely holy. God cannot lie. And so when that is reminded of him, remember the Old Testament, they would sometimes, "Lord, remember us. We know that we've been acting like a fool, but don't forget that we're still your children." Jesus says, "Father, I know your character." The same thing Jesus said to us, the mark of a good leader is never, ever ask someone to do something you're not willing to do yourself. We had a children's meeting. I told the leaders, don't ask the kids. Don't pass the offering basket around to the kids if you're not tithing and giving. Don't do that. Don't ask the kids to do something you're not willing to do. Preacher boys, I tell them, don't not be willing to clean the toilets if your preacher cleans the toilets. Jesus says, anything you ask in my name, I will do. So he's asking the Father, and he can't ask for things that he's telling you to ask for that can't get accomplished. So Jesus knows, because of the righteous character of the Father, that he will fulfill all that the Son has requested for his followers. In declaring God's name, we declare his truth and his love. Jesus' sincere request for you and I is that we are connected in conclusion. That means that what he prayed for is fulfilled through us. So let me go over it quickly one more time. We must conclude the prayer, Jesus' prayer, by being connected by faith with all believers. I'm not saying you have to agree with all believers. Understand what I'm saying. But if they're not against us, they're for us. You don't have to fellowship with them. You don't have to go to the same church as them. That's not what we're saying. But when times get rough, those are the ones who have believed in Christ, and Christ prayed that we would have some unity together. We are connected by the Spirit, not by denominations or church hierarchy. We are connected through the most powerful God. Once we believe through the indwelling of the Spirit, we are now connected, and that connection is to go into the world and to restrain wickedness and to fight against evil the best we possibly can through the Word of God. Number three, in conclusion, we're connected in glory. Ye are the light of the world, a city on a hill. Ye, my friends, are the salt and the light. Ye, my friends, are those who are to occupy until he comes through his glory that he's given to you to shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. You know what that's saying? I'm going to shine the glory of the Father who is in the Son, who the Son has put in the church, who the church is supposed to shine it in the world. Connected in love, we are, the conclusion is Jesus wants it to be fulfilled by us being connected in love. If the love of God in you never comes out of you, you're disconnected and you need to get reconnected. And lastly, the conclusion and the greatest conclusion of all time is that we're connected in eternity. That no matter the size, shape, color, all those who are saved in Jesus Christ by the blood, by the power of his blood, you will have eternity. You're connected, whether you like it or not, you're connected in eternity with God the Father. That is the wanted conclusion, the connected conclusion of the high priestly, or Jesus the Lord's prayer, his sincere request for us. This evening, every head bowed, every eye closed. As we go to a time of invitation, as we go to a time of softness of heart, and as we would also begin to prepare for baptism and the Lord's Supper, I would pray that As Jesus prayed fervently, sincerely, that tonight, in any of those areas where you may not be as connected as you once were, where you may not be connected the way that you could be, that you'd get connected as we connect with the body, as we connect with the blood this evening.